Okay, let's pray. Father, may you bless as we look at these important concepts that are so much a part of our lives. It's a great, great privilege when we realize that we have an ongoing opportunity to relate to you directly by communication. We're thankful, too, that this communication is not for us to give you advice. It's not for us to change your plan and program, but it gives us that privilege of understanding exactly how privileged we are to be able to talk with you and then to let you, through your word, talk to us. May you bless in this hour, and we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we're at this, I call it two problem passages. They're not a problem for me. Shouldn't be a problem for you, but it's a problem for the hoi polloi. And by that I mean people, the normal run-of-the-mill Christian when it comes to communication. Because they read these verses and they have issues with them. And the big verse is 1 Timothy 2:1. And the way they read this, in the way they treat this subject is, I exhort therefore that first of all prayers, and prayers be made for all men, etc. And so they don't see any distinctions between terms. And so they're quick to do that. And then sometimes there are all kinds of little games that have been played in this matter of communication. For a number of years, there were some guys going around. I don't know what you want to call them. They call themselves evangelists. They were probably exhorters, maybe not even that. Maybe they didn't even have a spiritual gift. I don't know. That's not nice. If you say that means they aren't saved. But anyway, they had this acronym for communication, and it was ACTS. And so it was asking, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication was, I think, the core of it. Somebody said that they'd heard it a little differently, and I don't remember how they broke that acronym out. That was it. And I heard a guy use that acronym and said, anybody that says there's more than this is all wrong. And the word prayer was the general term over the whole schmear, and that was their idea. And they led people astray. And you teach them wrong, they miss a huge, huge blessing. Communication is just nothing but a subject that is full of just the neatest blessing. And, you know, I feel like sometimes I could teach this class every year and it'd never get old. And I've taught it a long time. You know, every 3 years I teach it. I've taught it in conferences. I now teach it in seminary. And I still have a great time with it. And I don't think I'm ever going to get the book written that I started to work on 40 years ago, which was really where I was able to work this real, real early. And when I went into the church in California, I'm working full-time. When you're working full-time and you have responsibilities and you want to do a decent job, you figure out how to get the most done with the time you have. And I was teaching. I had the two services on Sunday. At one point in that, I had another Bible study on Sunday, so I had three things going on Sunday. Then I had prayer meeting, and then after a year or so, we were doing a Tuesday morning Bible study, which was an hour and a half, and working 40 hours a week. And so, you know, you have to do series of some kind to know where you're going. I'm an old hander-outer. I've been from day one almost. And so I decided for prayer meeting to teach prayer and use that as a pivot. And, you know, we didn't call it prayer, but that's what I did. And started teaching it, going through it Wednesday night after Wednesday night. And that meant I could do my research. I could have it all put together. I did a lot of detailed work that... if I did a book, I would probably do a set of appendices with some of the real technical detail work of how the words work that I like to do. And And I did that for part of that, where I'd hand out these charts and nobody there knew what was going on when I handed them out, but they felt good because they looked like they were smart. When you know, I was breaking out the kinds of tenses and voice and a lot of that stuff, objects of the verb and a lot of that stuff, which was valuable to me. And so I don't mind sharing my research with people if there is a chance that somebody might benefit. And that's kind of what happens with it. And so anyway, I started it there, and I don't know how many years I did it, but as the congregation turned over and new people came in and people left, what happened, I realized that when I got to prosukamai, that I was teaching people material that they didn't have the premises for. They didn't have all of the backdrop. And so at page 261 of my notes, I stopped. And I didn't finish prosukamai. And I've had that interest for a long time. And I love the course. But, you know, this whole general idea of prayer is, and we talked about that last round, I mean, the confusion that exists when people talk about prayer. I'm glad generally that people that have gone through this class or in the seminary class or in some other places, and, you know, I did a forum on communication, and it's still being used extensively. I mean, somebody asked me at one point to go to where they are and teach a full day to provide the backdrop so they could run a series on it. And when they asked me, I thought, I don't really have time to take all of this time to go and do that. It would be real easy, but I didn't have to, which at the time was gracious on the part of God, I think. In that matter. So we come to this, and now we come to two key passages and their problems for people that are simplistic about prayer. The first one is 1 Timothy 2:1, and I read it in the normal version that a lot of people have. Prayers, 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 prayer. And you'll notice when we read it, you have four different words for prayer or communication. And prayer is not the first one. And so it starts out with, he says, supplications, I'm reading AV, prayers as prayers of worship, intercession, and giving of thanks or thanksgiving. So you have four kinds of communication that are listed here. So there are, we know that there are at least four. And so I need my aerial. Car aerials are handy for some things. See, okay. So it says, first of all, supplication. Whoop, let me look at that. Need the S, don't I? They're all plural. Okay, put an S on that in your mind. I can get up if it bothers you too much. On it. So supplications, communications of worship. I mean, I'm putting it in that. Then interpreting it, intercessions and thanksgivings. So you have four kinds of communication. Now there are some things, and I translated it because they none of them have an article. I mean, they're all qualities in this case. And the key thing that is important, and I translated this communication of worship because so many people make that the general word for communication because it's translated prayer. And so when we talk about prayer, technically, because of the uses of this word, which is prosukamai or prosuke, that is the more dominant word. And that becomes very important. But I mean, why? If you say, well, the big word you use in communication when it says pray without ceasing, that means me worshiping without ceasing. Oh no! How can we do that? We're not capable of that. Well, I know you aren't. And the reason is you don't know theology proper. You don't know your Bible well enough to repeat back to God that which he said about himself. And so they're happy to just put it in a big bucket and call it prayer. And they don't think grammatically. In other words, what I'm saying, you can't put a colon after this and say it's the beginning of a list, and you've got supplication ahead of it. So these are 1, 2, 3, 4 distinct forms of communication. And so it's a problem for some, but it certainly gives us a huge amount of help. Now, when we go to Philippians chapter 4, we come up to a different set of circumstances. We also have 4 different words for communication. They are in different forms here. And now we have, it looks like a problem, because we have prayer at the beginning. The very first one in Philippians chapter 4, in that list, and we begin, I mean, it's in 4:6, and it says, be careful or be anxious. Don't have anxiety for anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, I just read it as it is in King James. Okay, and so you don't see the significance when you look at it. It says prayer first, and it says by prayer and supplication, sounds like it could be a part of a little list, with thanksgivings, and then let your requests be made known, so you have requests before a verb. And once again, you have a mix here. You have singular prayer, singular supplication, plural thanksgivings, and plural requests or askings. Okay, now what I did, I put this up on the board, and I translated it a little tighter, so you can see how it is. It says, by the worship, there's a definite article, and by the supplication. So you have 2 articles here, isolating them from one another, and it's the form here. The by is not a preposition, it's because of the verb. The verb is instrumental. By the supplication, after thanksgivings, I'm happy to see people knowing this. It says with. In the Greek, it's the preposition meta. And meta is a word that we learn in vocabulary primarily as with, as it is in the King James. But there's a rule of grammar that says if meta is found with an accusative case, it should be translated after. So it's an issue of the kind of case. And this is an accusative plural. So it's after thanksgivings. I like that. When we get into Thanksgiving, we'll have a little fun with it in a way, because there is one kind of communication that is a mark that says you are, it shows you're a spiritual believer, because it ties directly to being filled in Ephesians 5, and that is thanksgiving. A spiritual believer is a thankful believer. And so that's kind of where things start. I mean, you've got worship going on in the background all the time, hopefully as spiritual believers. But Thanksgiving is that mark. And all of the fun things of Thanksgiving that come out of Ephesians 5 pivot off of that. And so after Thanksgivings is a grammatical thing. And it's amazing to me how many Greek seminary grads, not ours, as we try to, I try to make sure we have that down pretty pat. It's just a little tricky form. And our guys are some of them over the time, they pick them up. They pick up the other times where meta is used with the accusative. And so it's after. So there's an order here of a sort. And then he says, let your asking be known. See, I just did that when I wrote this down. I must have been in a hurry. It actually says, let the askings of you. So you have a definite article here. I just cheated and I took and killed the definite article and covered it over with the or. It's the askings of you. So you have an article here in this worship. You have an article in front of supplication. You have an article in front of askings. Thanksgiving doesn't have an article, and it deals with a quality. And it makes perfect sense. Now we compare these two passages. We have supplication in 2:1 of 1 Timothy. Down here we have supplication in Philippians 4:6. We have worship up here. Worship down in the other passage. So there are two commons. Then we have thanksgiving, as we just noticed. And we have the difference here is intercession and asking. They're different. So you can add them up. And so let's go with this. You have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So we have 5 of them between these two passages. So that's a pretty easy way to talk to people, and it's easy to teach this. I mean, when I say easy to teach it, you can teach this to, you know, anybody you run into, you know, your friends and anybody. It's really, I mean, you can say, what are you going to do with this? There's a lot more to it than you think. Instead of prayers, 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 prayers on that matter. And so, so we have 5 out of 8. Now there are 3 that are not here. In these two passages. And so so when we break it out, we have confession is missing. And that's pretty obvious. Confession is a very, very, very important kind of communication. With confession, don't think of it this way quite, but it's an easy link, and that is praise. Is not found here. And our definition of praise is confessing his character. So there are 2. They are kind of their own special categories. And then the other one that's not in this list, and it's not one, if you forgot it, I'd like to think you'd never want to use it on it, and that is a vow. The vow of faith will heal the mentally ill. Since you sinned against someone, you need to confess it to that someone. And the vow is that you want it. You're going to make the deal to do it, whether you've made that person so mad at you they don't want to talk to you. And so the vow, and you, it's just bugging you and making you mentally ill. It's just amazing to me how many people carry so much of the past in their minds that affects their ability to think straight. And today I was reading in a paper, and there was somebody that was just totally agitated, and we're having a terrible time with family, because when that person was very young, something had gone on. And they're in their 40s, and it happened 25 years before, and they're still agitated. And it bugs them in that case. And it's kind of sad. Of course, these are unbelievers, and they'll carry it to the grave, that issue. And so, you know, how can I get rid of this? You know, nobody's admitted that this happened, and all of this kind of thing. And, you know, it's awful nice to know that God's in charge of things when you're a believer. On that and not let in. That's what the vow of faith does out of James chapter 5. So those are 8. So prayer is only an 8th, though it's a major one because it's dominant. It dominates. And so communication, communion, I like to use the terms of communication. Worship sounds to me more like I'm sharing something in common with God that he shared with me. You know, I'm in the Word and I'm able to talk, to say what he said about himself and dwell on it because I'm concerned, I care, I want to have a relationship with him, I want to be close to him, I want to be as close to him as I can be as long as I'm here on earth. I mean, that's my ultimate goal in life. It doesn't always work that way, but that's at least a good motive if we have it. And so, I mean, we're human and we understand this in that matter. So,
Is Krister and I always translated prayer?
Yeah. Yeah, usually, I mean, it's almost all, I don't think there's a time where it isn't. You wish it was translated worship a time or two. But they don't do that. I did a forum paper somewhere in the dark ages. The way I think of my papers that I've done, I do these cycles. The ones I did on the typewriter, the ones I did on that first generation computer, which was a dot matrix printer, and then the ones that I did when I had a computer with laser printer. And so that's, and this was back in the dot matrix era on that with Prasukamai. And it's real. I mean, it's a very technical paper on the subject, because I was answering a question to a pastor in California. He asked me a question about it as far as being worship, and what about the Hina clauses was one thing he was worried about. And the Hinas are, you know, worship that or in order that. And I don't think he ever really understood the significance of the prepositions. So I wrote this fairly technical paper for the forum and sent it to him, and I don't know whether it ever... He thanked me for it, at least, so that's good. Sometimes I send things and I don't get thanked for them, but I don't seek it that way. So anyway, yeah, so prayer is that way, and if how do you find that out? An easy way, obviously, look it up in, like, Smith's. Or Englishman's Greek, they will do that. Smith's Concordance. Let me show you Smith's. I was given the guys a bad time today. I said they weren't praying, they weren't being as thankful as they ought to be, because The book situation for them was a reason to be supremely thankful this week. And, okay. Prepositions are in too many places. Okay, Prasukamai is, come on, pros. Erkamai, it's got to be right here. Prasuke, 435, 436. And these are charts. And the reason I say the guy should be very thankful is that, and you have to remember those numbers that I forgot myself, but when you look at it, they're charts and they tell you where these words occur in the books. How many times, how many ways they're translated, and you'll see both the verb says make prayer, but you always have prayer. And prosuke says prayer on that, so this is an easy way to do it. And the guys each got one of these that was like it was brand new without a dust cover. Both of them, each one of them got one.
What they sell for normally?
They're not printing them in hardback now. Herald Press is printing them in paper, probably $25. You don't have it?
No.
Oh.
See? It's been geeks for so long, I just know.
Well, this...
I never really looked at it. That's the first time I've ever really...
Oh, really? See how fast it is?
Yeah.
I mean, if you have a word that's translated by three or four different English words in the Greek, in the AV,
Yeah. They're
all there. It tells you the book. Like with Colossians, if I wanted to find out, it doesn't happen to occur that much in Colossians, but if I wanted to find out how often it was there, I could look at it and you find the Colossians line and see what they have. Yeah. So you can see, and see at the top it's prayer. That's all I did that for. You know.
So that Greek word was just translated prayer by
worship. Well, it probably started back with Wycliffe or in the Bishop's Bible, or because those had a huge influence on it, and they started to do that. And what is that word? It may have even started with Jerome, and that means that was Latin. in that matter. And so it becomes confusing because people look at you, how can you, why you say it's worship? It says prayer. And then you go up here to this certain verse in 1 Timothy and say, if prayer is a general term, it's not first, how can you put a colon on it and mix it all up like that? And there's no textual problem on it. And so let me give you my commercial on it. This is a fun commercial. That is, you know, you can find absolutely any word in the King James Version of the Bible if you have the right tools. I mean, you can find every occurrence of on it. You can find every occurrence of the. And it's interesting, in Colossians, the word that occurs most often in Colossians is the word the. You'd expect it in its various forms. The second word that is found in Colossians most often is the word and. So, and if you have the right tools, you can find these things out without having to count them all. Alright. And so here I can, let me get the right Colossians, set that in. And it's funny because I'm looking at this. Okay, what's wrong with this? Okay, chi n, the n preposition is number 3, 88 times. You guys, 57 times. Autos is he, him, 45 times. And the thing that impresses me is one of my played with, I've been playing with, and it's pos. And that's found in 4 chapters 39 times. And that's all or every, each. And man, is there a whole lot of firepower in there. I could do a series on pos for a year out of Colossians alone. Because what it says, you know, each one, well, you know, we get our each one mature in Christ. That's pos. And it's not really, I mean, it's not what it is on our logo. I mean, it's not out of Colossians 1. Dr. Schaefer chose to change it to that each one. And it's all, every man. It's pos. In fact, it's found 3 times in that verse. But see, here's a tool that gives me the order of the words in that book on that page. And I go back to this other page, and it goes alphabetically in the occurrences in alphabetical order. And then in the actual text of it, I look up a word and like flesh. I look up flesh, it tells me it occurs 9 times in the book of Colossians, 147 times in the New Testament, and it gives me all of the verses in the Greek. I'm not, their citations are short, obviously. And so tools help. I mean, they really are amazing things. And this little beast is just, I've been having a lot of fun with this in this thing because I'm working themes in Colossians.
Is that based on the Greek text?
Which it's on the critical text. It's on the 27th edition, I think.
What is that?
This is Bible study concordance of the Greek, whatever it says, New Testament.
I've never heard of that one.
Yeah, it's what is it, 2000? Let me see, it's a big fat book. I guess I can pass it around if you want. 2003. On it, and it's what is it, $50 on Amazon? I looked it up, but if you want to look at this, you want to test your strength here. Look at it. See, I've got a bookmarker. If you're interested in Colossians, the one that's sticking up is Colossians, and it does all of this stuff. And when I look at it now, I'm doing analysis of the Thessalonian epistles. I have done all of that work, and it took me years to do it. And with that, I'll hand out a chart with the communication words in Colossians. It was so easy. I had it all right there. I could do the tabulating, and I'm working themes. Colossians isn't the greatest book to work communication terms because some of the fun ones aren't there. But you can see, I mean, there are tools for everything. You know, if you decide you want to figure something out, and well, because I do this with the seminary, and they want to know where to find something, I can show them tools that'll get there. Don't you like my fancy bookmarker?
Do you always cut up your books to make good bookmarks? We can probably get you the less expensive ones.
The moral of the story is, when you have books published, ask for the overruns on the covers. They work good. So you can put them up in frames on your wall. And they do, I mean, they're heavier stock, so they make a real good bookmark. If I could find my little bundle, I'd cut a few of them out and let you take them. They're nice and colorful.
They leave you wanting a little, because they only have half sentences.
Well, so you have to buy the book. Isn't that the reason you cut them up?
That's a good idea.
To get the other half of the sentences.
Yeah. But anyway, there's equipment that help us a lot on it. And I'm giving you the pitch I give the seminary guys, and that is, you know, learn the tool. When I tell them to learn the tools, and they can save hours.
Didn't you wait for Darlene for that? For this advertisement?
You did so that she
did. You're so convincing.
Yes, Darlene, we're talking about you.
Courtney needs these tools.
Well, after what he got, he did really, really, I mean, they really did well. He got tools that took me a long time to get on it, and the prices were good on it. So, anyway. So, when we deal with this communication, why do we worry about differences and distinctions? Because, you know, when you're talking to God, it's nice to know that you can ask Him for something for yourself and ask according according to His will, and He's going to do it. And that's an indicative. I mean, it's going to happen. And so, if you're in the right place to ask in the will of the Lord, then. Or in His character, you know, ask anything in my name and I'll do it. So you know, we don't use asking very much. Supplication, when you cry out for help, and especially when you understand, that's hard on the old wrist, isn't it? Now, it's, I mean, some of these are, but when I ended up teaching a Bible analysis class or two at the very last minute, that book saved my bacon in a lot of ways. It was so much easier to get it done. And I produced 150 pages of that syllabus, I think.
The time that was saved?
Yeah. So
I can see paying $50 for that. I'd buy that, but I'm not worrying about the full price. I mean, it's just looking at it, you can throw it up, that's going to be handy.
Yeah, well, and see, it's a—I mean, $50 is a discount price on Amazon.
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't know that. What's his name? Andreas Kostenberger. That guy wrote a lot of stuff. I've seen a couple of them. I went on Amazon. All of a sudden, I'm finding all kinds of stuff that he wrote, and but that's, you know, they're. Don, I'm a bad influence on you. You're back under my wing, and I've been giving you all of this.
This was not, and this one I just never had the money to buy, and I had Moulton Keaton, and I didn't realize this one had an advantage alongside Moulton Keaton.
Yeah, I mean, it's just fat. I mean, it counts.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm haunted. All of this work I've done on communication with God over the years, I've gone through these words I don't know how many times. If I write a book, if I were to do that, I go back over the whole thing all over again. But I do have the research set up, so I could double check it easy. And so, but my nightmare is that there is a textual problem, or there's a passage left out in the tool that I'm using that is going to be the key passage that will cause somebody to understand it. And I mean, if I don't do my job and I miss it, I look at it as my fault because I knew better. And so I would do that. And if you saw my original notes on communication, I used three tools to validate everything. So I used Englishman's Greek, I used Moulton Gidden, I used Stiganga at that point. And I could, check and check, it's all handwritten, and find it. And so in the end, I felt so much better knowing I had considered everything on that. And that gave me a mix as far as text problems. I mean, Englishman's going to be different than, because they use different texts on it. So anyway, when we understand these things, we can have some confidence in communication. You know, if you hang around a lot of people, all they want to do is ask God for something and expect something from Him. And you know, if that's all you think of, what kind of confidence do you have? You know, asking and receiving. And if you just keep asking and not receiving, what's wrong with your asking? It's your problem, according to these people. And John R. Rice wrote a book, and John R. Rice is a guy that's been gone now a long time, but he was involved in what I want to call it, a fundamentalism in an area where they were kind of wild-eyed, some of them. I wouldn't call them militants. They were not theologically sound. But anyway, he had a magazine or a paper called Sword of the Lord, and he wrote this book, Prayer, Asking and Receiving. And I don't remember whether my copy has a skull and crossbones on the front of it or not. But it was one that I would have. I told you my dad did that with his. I have a little section of books I notice every time I walk by and I see this white Indian skull and crossbones. And I just always laugh. He was motivated to do that. John R. Rice, I was motivated to do that. In that area. Because if that's all there is to it, then if you don't get it, somebody messed up. And you know what happens with a lot of ignorant Christians? You know who they think messed up? Not me. God, you messed up. I ask and you're supposed to give it to me. And so that's a problem. And so when we communicate, we know what we're doing. If you ask anything in my name, you've got to be spiritual in this realm. And so you have that kind of, the idea is, you know what to ask for. I mean, if you don't know that you're going to get it when you ask for it, you better realize you kick into supplication. You're going to do all kinds of supplicating. I mean, more of that. You look down. We do a lot of intercession. We do a lot of supplication. And it's funny. I talked to Bill Louie, and we've been praying for a gal named Paula Dunbar for a long time. She was in his singles group back when he was a kid, and when he was younger. And they've kept track. She's been in his Bible studies in these times. Really has a huge respect for him. She has this disease that they can't figure out. It is so rare. She spends, I think she's going to Mayo Clinic again in the next week. Might be this week. But she's going to Mayo because this disease is, it's not getting better. They did a bone marrow, and they did all kinds of things trying to figure it out because ultimately she's probably just going to drop dead from it, and they won't know why it happened the way it has. Her system is, she's growing weird tissue in the wrong places, and part of it's cardio, and so it's affecting her heart and her stamina, and they experimented, I don't know, she's been in Mayo many times. And the best of the best, nobody in the country knows how to treat it. And what do we do? I mean, I've never met the lady. And, I can intercede in one way. She's a believer. She has had some basic Christian life material, and I know that Bill has done that. And I can intercede that she will overcome the enemies that come as they try to take her physical problem and make it defeat her. That's intercession. I can do that. But on the other area, You know, God's got it all figured out. When I say help, I'm saying, I know you've got it figured out, God. And so that's one lady. We've been praying for this guy and his wife in Las Vegas. He lost everything. And, I mean, he had a business. He was an engineer. He had big contracts. He had all kinds of people. And when the economy went kaputs, he lost everything he had. Lost his house. And what does he have? I mean, he had retirement. He lost that. And he's living on Social Security. And he took Social Security young. I think he's just 62. And that's all they're able to live on. He doesn't know whether tomorrow he's going to have a roof over his head in that circumstance. So what do I do? This brother's an amazing guy. I've never met him either. But I'll supplicate for him often as I think of him, because I know some things that happened in his life thanks to that little purple covered book. When he got the In Christ book, and it shook him to his roots. I mean, it just put all kinds of things together, and it affected he and the pastor of his church. He bought one for his pastor. Ultimately, they bought several of them for their deacons in this church in Las Vegas. And he and the pastor would get together once or twice a month just to go over In Christ truth. And the neat report that I ended up getting, of course, because he told Bill about it, was that the pastor was referring to being in Christ and some of those truths in almost every message. And, you know, that's doing something for a bunch of saints. And I'm supplicating for him. You know, you feel helpless, you can't do anything. You just supplicate, say help. And there are other issues that are involved there as well in this matter. And so so when we understand it, I am kind of going down the notes to have my little C's. You know, the contribution of communication, I'm on the next page, which is page 3. The classification of in communication. I mean, so you know what they are. You know, it doesn't make you a better Christian to know these. I mean, it doesn't make you more spiritual because you have this information. Don't forget that. But it gives you an opportunity to use the benefits that God has given you in a way that is a very gracious thing on the part of God. I mean, learning this is learning something about God's grace. And when we do that, and we can kind of classify them, you're not going to say, okay, we're going to have an intercession meeting at this minute. We're going to have 15 minutes of intercession. We're going to have 10 minutes of supplication or vice versa. And some of you need to have a confession meeting. That'll be in the next room for however minutes is going to take, you know. We're not doing that. That's not the idea. You know, I know some young guys would do that kind of thing and emphasize one, and you can do that as a teaching kind of thing, but let the Holy Spirit lead when you're talking in this matter, and you mix them up pretty well. And then with your salvation. Now I say connection with salvation on number 5. What is it? I'm talking about present tense salvation. You got this privilege in past tense salvation as you live now. It is one of the benefits that we have as believers that affects a whole cross-section of our life. It affects the way we think. We are setting our reflective thinking on things above, but isn't it nice when your head is up there where Christ is in his human nature to know that you're not up there bound and gagged? You have the privilege of talking. And you talk to the Father through the Son. And I think when I handed out the notes, I gave you a list of a chart of the communication, that our communication, the passages say different kinds of communication with the Father. And so we're up there, and it's just like being at the table with Christ and the Father. And talking to the Father. And when you think in those terms, don't panic. You know, it's interesting. We talk to the creator of the universe. And he hears us. And he is so big that he hears thousands of people at the same time, individually. Not a big hubbub. Individually, that's who God is. That's how big he is. And so when we talk to him, we look at it, and it's okay to look and say, we're one-on-one. We're one-on-one. Then you stop and think, man, how can my God do that with me? Because he's talking one-on-one to somebody out in outer Slobodia. You know, I mean, it's that relationship. And so when we understand it, and I always get reminded of it when I have some of the out of our country touches. I mean, I'm thinking this fellow from Germany. He's a growing guy. He told me in an email, he said, there are classes that you teach at Dispensational that I can't get anywhere else and I want them. That was his attitude. And so, it's just really interesting. I mean, he's been probably hustling this as long as almost anybody to do online. And I made a note. I said, well, we haven't done it because we want to, our focus is on getting the languages down. And online, you can't guarantee you're getting where you want to go. You don't read your students. You can't read your students. I don't care if you got a camera on them. You know, if I'm sitting here and the guys are kicking the floor around, I know they're kicking the floor around, and I know there's some fidgeting of some kind that is telling me I need to do something to try to get the fidget away so they can concentrate on something else in that matter. And so we haven't done that. And so we understand these characteristics of communication, and we've got to, and be reminded, I gave you that chart, that summary chart. I give you a lot of things that are very, very valuable, and because they have that. Now, the summary chart is broken into the four parts.
Like this?
No, not these. That's the one. Yeah, Brenda has it out.
Right after.
Did I put it there?
The
sometimes I put it at the beginning.
I think I put it behind this one.
Yeah, I have it here because I can't find it. But that chart is so important. Yeah, there we go. Cheryl's got it. Okay. Are you missing one, somebody? But this is designed to summarize so you can, this is just a good review chart. You can look at it. I'm broken into four things, and, appeal, appreciation. Appeal is three kinds, and that's asking, intercession, and supplication. Appreciation involves worship, praise, and thanksgiving. Confession is all by itself, and a vow. And so, this helps a lot. Now I've got the little short abbreviations, which will help you with it. So I think you'll find that this chart, wherever you tend to go in notes like these, make sure it's where you can see it. There are many, many of these charts have been duplicated and passed out in different places, just because it's just an overview on it. So that's where we're going. So we will come back and we'll talk about this matter of literal interpretation and pre-cross. We're coming back at E on 12, on page 3. And we'll be moving along with this. And Lord willing, next week our intention is to wade into Thanksgiving. So that's my goal. But these intro times are important just to make sure we're going the right direction. And then we will be moving pretty quickly because we've got 8 forms of communication to cover and we'll do it in 10 weeks. That's not too good. But I've given you all the key passages in these notes. So you have everything you need in the notes to get you where you need to go with it in teaching. I told you last time, what has happened with these notes, I've had seminarians before, I wasn't teaching it And it didn't get taught very extensively because ecclesiology ended up with more time than communication. There were times that Dr. Schaefer maybe covered it in about 6 hours, if that, just because that's the way it worked. And so what was happening in the seminaries were stealing their wives' notes. And sometimes the gals would be looking for their notes and couldn't find it, and they'd finally get the word that was in the husband's file somewhere. You know, that's the way it worked on it. So, but this gives you everything you need in it. And, I mean, I shouldn't say everything. You need to work it. But you could teach this material to anybody. It's pretty fun because I think the people who've been through this class, some of you have been, but I think about that. And I think how enthusiastic they are, and it's so much fun to have somebody say, you know, I'm teaching that prayer stuff, you know, that communication material. And, I mean, you just don't know how thankful I am when I see that happening, because they have made it their own and they're able to share it with somebody else. That's what the story is. That's what it's all about. Father, may you bless as we carry on in the evening. We're grateful for this opportunity and the privilege that we have of being your children. And we're thankful for your word. Again, bless the next hour. We'll be grateful as you do that. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
It shouldn't be that.